بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد continue discussing the affairs related to التكفير and the importance of this issue and likewise the danger of hastening to declare someone whom their Islam has been established with certainty, declaring them to be a disbeliever without evidence and without proof and without establishing first the conditions clarified and likewise the issues that would prohibit that ruling from being applied to that individual being removed. And we have seen that the ulama and the people of knowledge, they have mentioned issues and they have mentioned statements or actions. And they have said, whoever does this deed, then he's a disbeliever. And whoever makes this statement, then he's a disbeliever. Or he will say, this statement is a statement of kufr. And this action, this is the action of kufr. Whoever does this, then he has disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jal. Ayyadin billah. That there's a difference the people of knowledge they make between this general ruling of disbelief and the actions that are considered disbelief and the statements that are considered disbelief. They differ between this issue here of describing a statement or an action with disbelief. They differentiate between this and between applying the ruling of disbelief to a specific individual. Because in general, there are statements and actions that no doubt they are disbelief. And one who falls into it, he would disbelieve. But as for the application of that ruling to an individual specifically, then this requires for conditions to be present. And likewise for things that would prohibit that ruling to be ascribed or applied to that individual specifically, they must be removed. So the people who do not ponder over these issues and think deeply about them, and they hear the statements of the scholars, and they say, for example, كَذَا مَنْ قَالَ كَذَا فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever said this, then he's a disbeliever. And the likes like this. Then the one who hears this, he thinks that this is an all-inclusive ruling. And anybody who says that at any time or under any circumstance, that ruling is applied to him. And this is not correct. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this issue that he said about these people like this, أنهم لن يتدبروا أنهم لم يتدبروا أن التكفير له شروط أن التكفير له شروط وموانع قد تنتفي في حق المعين. These type of people, they didn't ponder or think deeply or try to understand the reality that declaring a Muslim a disbeliever, it requires conditions, and also there are conditions that should be there or that must be there, and likewise there are prohibitors, and the things that would prohibit that ruling from being applied to them, this must be likewise be removed. All of this must be kept into consideration with regards to the right of an individual specifically, and applying that ruling to that specific individual. Then he said, وَأَنَّ التَّكْفِيرَ المطلق وأن التكفير المطلق لا يستلزم تكفير المعين لا يستلزم تكفير المعين. That the general ruling of disbelief does not necessitate the ruling of disbelief to a specific individual, and to a person specifically, it does not necessitate that. Then he said, rahimahullah, إلا إذا وجدت الشروط وانتفت الموانع, except in the case that the conditions are present in that individual, and likewise those things that would prohibit that ruling to be applied to him are removed. At that time, the ruling of disbelief will be ascribed to him and applied to him. So this is the issue with regards to the principles of takfir. This is something that it must be known, that there are conditions that must be present in that specific individual. And likewise, there are other affairs that could prohibit that ruling to be ascribed or applied to that specific individual, and those must not be present. with regards to him. If that's the case, the conditions are present, and those mawani' are not present with regards to him, then at this time the ruling will be applied to him. And he would have himself fallen into disbelief, and he would be declared a disbeliever. But this is not for the layman to delve into, and the small students of knowledge, but rather for الراسخون في العلم, those who are steadfast and firmly grounded and solid in knowledge. They are the ones who would declare this issue. Because by declaring a believer or a Muslim to be a disbeliever, there are many rulings that come from that. From that is that his blood will be permissible. Person who left Islam, then if he was in the Muslim lands and this occurred in the court of a Muslim judge, then he would be commanded to enter into Islam or he would be killed. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man baddala dinahu faqtuluhu," that whoever turned away from his deen, then kill him. This is the ruling that is ascribed. Likewise, this ruling here is only not applied by household members or by the imam of the masjid or by local community or a tribe. This is only for the imam to apply this ruling, but this is the case. This is the case with that person. Likewise, if that person died, that the ruling of takfir was applied to him and ascribed to him, then he will not be washed, and he will not be prayed upon, and he will not be buried in the graveyard of the Muslims, and no one will seek forgiveness for him. And he will have the ruling of the disbelievers that he will abide in the hellfire for eternity, and he will never see mercy again if he died in that manner. Ya'adhan billah. And likewise, his family, if they were Muslims, they will not inherit from him. There's many, many rulings that would apply and ascribe in this situation, even if he was still alive. And for example, a man, he was married and he had a Muslim family, and then he disbelieved, and that ruling was ascribed to him and applied to him, and he truly disbelieved, then his wife would have to leave him. His wife would have to leave him. It's not allowed for her to be married to a disbeliever. And likewise, if a man is married to a woman, a Muslim woman, and that woman disbelieved and left the deen, like truly, then likewise he would have to leave her. And it's not permissible to marry a woman who is murtadda. And the Muslim men, they're allowed to marry the women from the people of the book with the conditions that are known, from the Jews and the Christians. But the woman who was a Muslima and then she left her deen, that's not allowed for a believer to marry this type of woman. It's not permissible for a man to marry this type of woman. So therefore, there are many rulings and many dangerous affairs and realities that will come about because of that ruling. And this is something that the believers have to be cautious about. And there are many, many evidences. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will discuss some of them in these classes. Clarifying the dangers of calling a Muslim a disbeliever. Even not believing that. Just saying that as a means of shatam, as a means of seb, as a means of calling him names and speaking bad about them, not truly believing he's a kafir. Even this right here is impermissible, and this is dangerous. So how about calling a believer, a disbeliever, kafir, like this, and believing that he's a kafir, and he's not even a kafir. This is even more severe and more worse. So therefore, it's very important to understand these conditions, and to be aware of them, and to have knowledge about them, and to be upon them. And the very first issue that a believer has to understand is that one must fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and not speak about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal in any aspect whatsoever without knowledge. And from that is to declare a believer to be a disbeliever. Somebody who has made the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, for somebody to come along and to claim that he's a disbeliever without bringing a clear proof, without bringing a clear proof, and to claim that that man is a disbeliever, this is something that is very dangerous. This is something that is very dangerous. And there's a great threat for this issue, and a warning from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this, and more than one narration, bi-idhnillahi, we will see them. But in our class this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we read from some of the benefits of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from his collection of fatawa and treaties and works with regards to the clarification of the deen. He has much effort, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we are reading from volume 3, and it begins on page 52. And he mentioned in this fatwa, رحمه الله تعالى, he says ولا بد في التكفير من شروط أربعة, that in order to ascribe the ruling of takfir and to declare a believer to have left the deen and to become a disbeliever, there must be four conditions. There must be four conditions. الأول, the first condition, ثبوت أن هذا القول أو الفعل أو الترك كفر بمقتضى دلالة الكتاب والسنة. The first condition is it must be established that that statement or that action or the leaving of that deed is in reality disbelief according to that which the book and the sunnah have clarified and have indicated. And first and foremost, that issue that has to be clarified, that this action that one said or the statement that one said is truly disbelief. Because some people, they misunderstand. And they may declare someone to be a disbeliever for a statement or an action that is not in reality disbelief, but rather it is a major sin. So there's a difference between major sins and disbelief. And some major sins are disbelief, but not every major sin is disbelief. So therefore, the people of knowledge, they have clarified these issues. And from the methodology of Ahl Sunnah, أنهم لا يكفروا صاحب الكبائر, لا يكفروا مسلمين بالكبائر, that they do not declare the believers to be, or the Muslims to be disbelievers because of major sins, because of major sins. So there's a difference between al-kabira wal kufr, between a major sin and between disbelief. So first, it must be established clearly according to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah that this action or statement that that person fell into, or that he left off and did not perform, is in reality disbelief. Some people may say, for example, that he's seen him eating a pork chop. For example, he was eating a pork chop in the restaurant, a barbecue pork sandwich in a restaurant with a woman. That's not his wife. So, and these are all foul things, no doubt. And this is a person here is in a bad situation, but these are not things that cause him to disbelieve. So somebody may see him like this and say, oh, I've seen him like, no, so-and-so is a kafir. Oh, Furan disbelieved. Oh, he disbelieved. What did he do? Oh, he was eating pork chops and drinking alcohol with women. And But no, that's major. No doubt about that. But this is not disbelief in itself. This in itself is not disbelief. So therefore, the action has to be clarified that it's disbelief. Or the statement that one made, it has to be clarified, and there has to be evidence from the Quran and from the Sunnah verifying that that statement or that deed is disbelief. So we see the first issue here is a tathabut min hadha al-qawd aw al-fi'l aw al-tark, that one has to seek clarification and make sure and verify that the statement actually was disbelief. Or that the action was actually disbelief. Or that the individual left off something that if he leaves it off, that is considered disbelief. If not, the ruling cannot be applied. If not, the ruling cannot be applied. And to speak about that is to speak about Allah without knowledge. And if one did not bring the evidence and proof. So-and-so said this. Oh, he disbelieved because he said this. What did he say? And he said such and such. Okay, well, what's the proof that's disbelief? Like this. Now, this person is dangerous. This person may be in a worse situation. Speaking about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge is even more dangerous than some of these affairs that the people of sin and transgression fall into. From the worst of all sin and transgression is to speak about the deen of Allah without knowledge. To speak about the deen of Allah with that knowledge. So this is the first issue. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned الثاني, the second condition. ثُبُوتُ قِيَامِهِ بِالْمُكَلَّفِ ثُبُوتُ قِيَامِهِ بِالْمُكَلَّفِ. The second condition is to verify and to authenticate and establish that this is actually something that happened to that individual. And mukallif, yani the person who is held accountable, is held accountable. Yani to say, okay, well, that statement, yes, it is disbelief. That action, yes, in the Quran and Sunnah, there's evidence that that thing that you're claiming he did is actually disbelief. If that is established, now one must also verify that that happened and that person, he performed that and he committed that. Because many people, they ascribe things to individuals that are not true. And many individuals, whenever they ascribe things to people, they do not verify them. And they take them from sources that are not reliable. and they take them from sources that are doubtful, and they take them from sources that cannot be trusted nor relied upon in the likes of these type of rulings, declaring a Muslim to be a disbeliever. And so therefore, the second condition is to actually establish and to affirm and to verify that that person, he committed that deed. That person, he actually said that statement. That person, he actually left that action that would take him out of Islam by leaving it. This has to be established, and it has to be a mukallaf. Therefore, if the person is not mukallaf, for example, he's a child, and he's not of the age of puberty, and he made a statement of disbelief, he does not disbelieve because they're not held accountable. They're not held accountable. Although this is something that is very dangerous, that a child would make these statements or be raised in this manner, or he would be left to make these statements without any discipline. But if he did say that statement or did do something that was considered disbelief, he will not disbelieve with that because he's not mukallif. He's not someone who is of age and with the same mind that is going to be held accountable for their actions. But if the person was mukallif, then it has to be verified that that person said that. Or it has to be verified that that person did that. Or it has to be verified that that person, he left off that action. And this is with regards to every single Muslim, whether he is the ruler, or whether he is a citizen, or whether he's the imam, or whether he's a brother in the masjid, or a sister from the masjid. Every single Muslim, these conditions apply to all of them, whether they are hukam or mahkumin, whether they are the rulers, or whether they are the citizens from the believers. And what is an obligation is that if this comes to a believer, to a Muslim, that so-and-so committed an action of disbelief, or so-and-so left Islam, or so-and-so is a kafir, the first thing that one must do is not hasten. Both of these two conditions, the Shaykh, he began with, thubut, thubut, thubutu anna, yani to verify. So the first thing that a believer will do, yatathabbat fil amr, that he will verify and he will check to make sure. He will verify and he will check to make sure. He disbelieved, what did he do? Oh, that's not even disbelief. Or if he said he disbelieved, what did he? Oh, a'udhu billah, that is disbelief. Did he really do that? Because you have to verify, did he really do that? Many people today, we find them declaring rulers, Muslim rulers, to be disbelievers, or to have fallen into disbelief. And then you ask them, why? What did they do? Oh, he did this and that. Where did you hear that from? It was in the newspaper. Yes, subhanAllah. It was on the news. This is all news and information that is coming from disbelievers, from the enemies of Islam. You think they're going to tell you the truth about the rulers, especially the rulers of al-Tawheed and the kings of the Sunnah? They're not going to tell you the truth about this. Rather, they want them to fall, and they do what they can to aid that. So therefore, this is not a proof, the fact that somebody seen it on the news, because it's known on the news, they have become very, very diligent and very, very proficient and making images seem to be something that it's not. This is something known. Hollywood has a great effect on the hearts and the minds of the people, and they see something and they believe it, and it's not even real. And it's not even true, and it never even happened. This is something that is known. They were doing that even before. They had the TV with the radio, making things appear to the people to seem a specific way to cause them to act in a manner that they want. This is something that is known. A believer has to free himself from that, and he follows the Quran and the Sunnah. And that which is affirmed in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that which is established from what the companions were upon, this is the guide, this is the light, this is the straight path, this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, this is what we hold fast to. As for the information that comes from the disbelievers, you can't deny it, you can't believe it. So therefore, for a believer to say, oh, the king so-and-so is this and that. We say, why you say that, ya akhi? Oh, I seen it in the news, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, he mentioned, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. Oh, you who believe, if a wicked individual, a sinner comes to you, a fasiq comes to you with information, then clarify. فَتَبَيَّنُوا even any فَتَثَبَّتُوا then verify, make sure that it's true. أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَارَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Or else, if one were to act without verification first, they will be acting upon ignorance. And possibly if one acts upon ignorance, they will harm somebody based upon that ignorance. And then in the end, they will regret. The person who did that, they will regret. They will have remorse. If they do not regret in this life, they will definitely regret in the hereafter when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for speaking about his deen and speaking about the rights and the honor of those who believe in him without right and without knowledge. Without writing, without knowledge. So this is something that must be established. The first condition is that it must be clarified with evidence and proof from the Quran that that statement or action is actually disbelief. Because not every statement or action that is foul or bad is considered disbelief. And there are some actions that are foul and they're filthy and lowly. They're considered from the fahisha. But they do not take a person out of Islam. So therefore, it has to be affirmed that that statement or deed is from those dangerous statements that take a person out of Islam. If that is established, it has to be affirmed that that person, he did it. He actually did it. Many people, they spread lies. Many people, they spread rumors. So-and-so, he did this. And so-and-so, he did that. And then if you come to so-and-so and you ask him about that, he would deny that and swear to Allah. And the people, many people, they have envy in their hearts. And many people, they have jealousy. And many people, they have hatred and rancor against each other and individuals. And they spread rumors and lies about people. Many people, there has been bloodshed because of this. Not making tathabbut in these affairs. At tathabbut, you need to verify and to authenticate, you need to ta'akkud min al-amr, to make sure. So these are the first two conditions. So even if these two affairs were present, any meaning that the statement or the action is truly disbelief, and it has been affirmed that that individual, he said it or he did it. And the first two conditions, they are fulfilled. If they were fulfilled in a particular individual and a specific person, there's still another condition. The Shaykh, he mentioned, الثالثُ بلوغ الحجة. بلوغ الحجة. The third condition is that the proof must have reached that person. Yani the evidence must have reached that person. He must know upon clarity that that action that he made is disbelief. Or he must know with clarity that the statement that he made is disbelief before the ruling is applied to him directly. Some people, they perform actions they do not know. And this is even common in our lands. Maybe someone who will be new to Islam. Or he has not been, he accepted Islam, but then he did not spend a lot of time around the Muslims. And then he will make a statement of disbelief. He will say, for example, he don't have to pray. He can pray whenever he wants to. A'udhu billah. Leaving the prayer is disbelief. We see this in our classes together. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. But before that ruling is applied to that individual specifically, there must be these conditions fulfilled. And after it's established he did that, and that it is actually disbelief, he has to know the proof. He has to know the proof, the evidence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat, faman tarakaha faqad kafar." You didn't know that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the difference between us and them, the disbelievers, is the salat. Whoever leaves it, then he disbelieved. And then you mentioned to him the threat of all these affairs like this. And then after that, if he continues to leave the prayer, and he doesn't care, and he continues upon his way, now there's another ruling, and the ruling of disbelief could be applied to him, yani, at the hands of the people of knowledge. But the point is that the proof has to reach the individual. The evidence has to reach the individual. The clarification has to come. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And we were not going to punish them until we send them a messenger. The messengers, they come with clarification. They come to establish the proof against the people. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُولِ. So that there will be no evidence or no proof for the people against Allah on the day of resurrection. And the evidence has been clarified and the proof has come and has been established against mankind. The messengers, they have conveyed the message. So therefore, this is the third condition. Even if the action or statement is disbelief, even if it's established that that person, he committed that deed, then it might, likewise, there's another condition that individual, he must know that is disbelief, and the evidence has to be established against him. Al-Rabi, and the fourth condition the Shaykh mentioned, intifa'u mani'i takfiri fi haqqihi. And the fourth condition is the fact that that which would prohibit the ruling of takfir to be applied to him must be removed from him. must be removed from him. And from that which would prohibit the takfir, or the application of that ruling of disbelief to be applied to him specifically, is ignorance. So the Sheikh, he mentioned these four principles in general here, and then after this he mentioned some detail about them, and we continue in our next class to read from the benefits of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.